Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher netanenu Torah emet v'chayalam b'dikenu. Baruch atah Yehovah naten ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ol ha'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Well, did you get Leviticus 11? Malachi and I, at the wedding, were offered three entrees. One was seafood. It didn't have scales and fins. The second was kangaroo. And the third was pork belly. We opted for vegetarian. Wasn't on the menu, but we got vegetarian. and that was the choice. I mean, it was a beautiful restaurant, and you could choose what you wanted for your entree and your main course, etc., etc. But a lot of the food you couldn't eat. It wasn't food. Not for us, anyway. We were blessed. We had a lovely lamb main course, but we had gluten-free for the entree. So there's always a way around it. Yah makes a way. And the entree we had was absolutely amazing. It was a beetroot and mint puree, and it was delicious, far better than anything they would have eaten. So, I'm not going to speak on food today. Just thought I'd pass it by you. I'm going to look at sacrifices. And the sacrifice is what Yah wants from his sacrifices. So, when we think of the sacrifice that Yeshua made, he sacrificed himself so that we could share in his power and in his ministry. And that's where I want to lead you to. So let us go to Vayikra chapter 9 and verse 7, please. Moshe told Aharon, approach the altar, offer your sin offering and burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and the people. Then present the offering of the people and make atonement for them as Yehovah ordered. So Aharon approached the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then it goes on in verses 22 to 24. Aharon raised his hands towards the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. Moshe and Aharon entered the tent of meeting, came out, and blessed the people. Then the glory of Yehovah appeared to all of the people. Fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah, consuming the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Yeshua's sacrifice caused us to share all of his ministries and his power. And it's through his sacrifice that fire would fall on a sacrifice to indicate it was acceptable to Yah. When we go into Malachim Aleph, 1 Kings 18 and 24, it says, then you call on the name of your Elohim, and I will call on the name of Yehovah. And the God who answers with fire, let him be Elohim. All the people answered, good idea. They agreed. Further down in verses 38 to 39, then the fire of Yehovah fell. It consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, Yehovah is Elohim. Yehovah is Elohim. Now, before that happened, Eliyahu, or Elijah, put 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice. And when Eliyahu poured the water all over the sacrifice, it was proving there would be no natural means to cause the fire as though it was faked. Yehovah sends his fire. He will light the sacrifice. We didn't have to light it. Now I'm leading to something. I'm sure you know what it is. In 1 Chronicles 21 to 26, then King David built an altar to Jehovah there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Jehovah, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar for burnt offerings. So we've got three burnt offerings and three sacrifices that were made by fire that man has not lit. Now, it didn't happen once. There's three times that I've shown you so far. Nothing is impossible for Jehovah. Now, Kepha, or Peter, preached on the day of Shavuot, or Pentecost, saying that the reason the Ruach was poured out upon the 120 was because Yeshua sat on the right-hand throne. He was sitting on the throne on the right hand of Yah. And we get that from Acts chapter 2, verses 30 to 33. It says, therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that Elohim had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, and that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not see decay. Elohim raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing. Now, Kepha quoted Psalm, or Tehillim 110. We go to Tehillim, Psalms 110, verses 1 and 2. It's a psalm of King David. Jehovah said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jehovah will send your powerful scepter out from Zion, and you will rule over your enemies around you. So Kepha said that the Ruach HaKodesh was poured out because Yeshua sat on the right hand. If Yeshua was not sitting on the right hand of Jehovah, we would not have been blessed today in being able to receive the Ruach HaKodesh. Yeshua had to have been sacrificed. He had to be sitting at the right hand of God, or Jehovah, before any single one of us could receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Messianic Jews or Hebrews teaches us that the reason Psalm 110 says Yeshua sat on the right hand was as follows. So let's go to Messianic Jews 10, please, verses 11 to 14. Now every Kohen, that is priest, stands every day doing his service, offering over and over the same sacrifices, which can never take sins away. But this one, after he had offered for all time one or a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Elohim, and then on to wait until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has brought to the goal for all time those who are being set apart for Elohim and made holy, or Kodesh. Yeshua sat down on the right hand because he offered a sacrifice that takes away sins. He didn't offer a peace offering. He didn't offer a guilt offering. He offered a sacrifice that literally takes away sins. Until a sacrifice was given that took away sins, they stood daily. They didn't sit. They stood daily, never ever sitting down. There were never chairs in the temple or the tabernacle, except the mercy seat on the ark, and no one, people, Kohanim, no matter who they were, never ever sat in the temple. They always stood. That's why I made everyone stand for the wedding, wasn't it? They didn't sit in temples. Didn't think of that at the time. So the reason he sat down in Tehillim 110 was because he made the single and only offering that completed the entire ordeal over sin. By one offering, Yeshua perfected forever them that are sanctified. So let us have a look at verse 14 again. It says, for by a single offering he has brought to the goal for all time those who are being set apart for Elohim and made holy. Even when the fire fell on the sacrifice in the Tanakh, the job was still not done. It was as good as could be done back before Yeshua's sacrifice on the stake. We know that fire showed Yehovah's acceptance of the sacrifice. He was satisfied to a degree, as much as could be expected at the time, before Yeshua's ultimate sacrifice. And this is how it is today. The sacrifices of the Tanakh, although imperfect, were acceptable at the time before Yeshua. Since Yeshua, the curtain was rent from top to bottom, opening up the most holy place of the temple, and then the temple was destroyed, so that no sacrifices can be offered in the manner shown to Moshe since the days of Yeshua. Therefore, none of us can offer a sacrifice in any way, shape, or form, which is the reverse of what the Tanakh is. They couldn't offer it completely because the sin offering had to be done by Yeshua. And since Yeshua, none of us can do the sacrifices because there's no temple to do it. There was one time when the Kohanim offered unacceptable sacrifices, which we read today. So let's look at what happened. In Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. But Nadav and Avihu, sons of Aharon, each took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before Yehovah, something he had not ordered them to do. As this fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah and consumed them, so that they died in the presence of Yehovah. So fire came down and fell on them and killed them. Moshe explained that the order for making atonement. Let us look at the description of the Kohen HaGadol, or the high priest's garments, because it's very important. Let's go back to Shemot, Exodus 28, 33 to 35. On the bottom of the garment, on its hem, were made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet. And they'll put all the way around with gold bells between them all, gold bells between them all the way around. Gold bell, pomegranate, all the way right around the robe. Aharon is to wear it when he ministers, and its sounds will be heard when he enters the holy place. Not the most holy place, when he enters the holy place before Yehovah and when he leaves, so that he won't die. Can you imagine as he walked? Jingle, jingle, jingle. But look at the change he had to enter before he had to make before he could enter into the holiest of holy places. And I know this is going ahead of our readings. It's coming up probably next week. But I felt it was important to go on with this. In Vayikra, Leviticus 16, 1 to 4, Yehovah spoke with Moshe after the death of Aharon's two sons when they tried to sacrifice before Yehovah and died. Yehovah said to Moshe, tell your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place beyond the curtain in front of the ark, which is on the in front of the ark cover, which is on the ark, so that he will not die. So he's saying now, okay, Aharon can no longer go into the holiest of holies because I appear in the cloud over the ark cover. Here is how Aharon is to enter the holy place: with a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. He is to put on holy linen tunic that have linen shorts next to his bare flesh, has a linen sash wrapped around him, and wearing a linen turban. These are the holy garments. He is to bathe his body in water and put them on. So it's no longer the checkered tunic with the pomegranate and the bell and the pomegranate and the bell. It's only linen. Now, I want you to notice that Kohen Kagadol could only wear linen. Any reason why? No sweating, got nothing to do with sweat. Why was it only linen? It was a thread, not made by an animal, and it was pure. It was a pure thread. Nothing was mixed with it, and it didn't wasn't made by an animal, so it wouldn't interfere with any sacrifices that were to be made. It was made from flax. Now, I don't believe that this linen garment was bleached. It wasn't white. Because if it was white, it would have had to have been bleached. If it was bleached, it would have been contaminated. It was no longer a natural colour. So this is the reason it's not white, even though many people think it's got to be white. The white is irrelevant. There was to be no gold, blue, purple and scarlet yarn on it. The bells came off with the robes he wore. They were not made of a natural thread. Let me see. The idea of a rope. Who's heard of the rope being tied around the high priest's leg before he goes into the Holy of Holies? You've all heard that story? It's a furphy. There was never a rope. I don't know where they got that one from. If they couldn't hear the bells ringing. They wouldn't hear the bells ringing because he wasn't wearing bells. Duh. I mean, some of the things that I've heard over the years, but there wouldn't be bells ringing because he wasn't wearing bells in there and they didn't need a rope. He could come out when he was ready. And it's like Elishaver's husband when he was in there being told of Yochanan's birth. He was in there for such a long time and they were waiting and waiting and waiting. No one went in after him because they couldn't go in and there certainly wasn't a rope to pull him out. So the Kohen Gadol would not wear bells in the most holy place. After he had done offering atonement, then he went back out and changed his clothing and put on his colourful robes and bells again. Now the things that he wore inside this Holy of Holy place was never ever worn again. They were usually used as the wick in the menorah at the entrance to the holy place after that. In Vayikra or Leviticus 16, 23 to 24. It says, Aharon is to go back into the tent of meeting where he is to remove the linen garments he put on when he entered the holy place. He is to leave them there. He is to bathe his body in water in a holy place, put on his other clothes, come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, thus making atonement for himself and for the people. Now we all know that this was done on one day of the year, on Yom Kippur, as we read in Leviticus 9:24 today. Fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah. Is that up there? Vayikra 9:24? Okay. Fire came forth from the presence of Yehovah, consuming the burnt offerings and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The high priest or the people within the temple, as I said earlier, never sat down. There were no seats, there were no pews, etc. They were never ever commanded to be built for the temple. But look what was prophesied of Yeshua in Zechariah 6:11-15. It says, take silver and gold, make crowns, put one on the head of Yehoshua, the son of Yehotzadak, the Kohen HaGadol, and tell him, Yehovah Zevaot says, here is coming a man whose name is Zemach, which means sprout. He will sprout up from his place and rebuild the temple of Yehovah. Yes, he will rebuild the temple of Yehovah, and he will take up royal splendor, sitting and ruling from his throne. There will be a Kohen before his throne. They will accept each other's advice in complete harmony. The other crowns will be for Halem Toviah, Yadayah, and Chen, the son of Zephaniah. Then they are to be kept as a memorial in the temple of Yehovah. Those who are now far away will come and help rebuild the temple of Yehovah. Then you will know that Yehovah Tzevaot, who sent me to you, and it will come about, provided you heed carefully to what Yehovah your Elohim says. Now, Yehoshua is in Hebrew the exact same name of Yeshua in Aramaic, or Joshua in English. In this passage from Zechariah, we have a man named Yehoshua, who was a Kohen Hagadol, or high priest. Now, this man represents Yeshua, same name, who is our high priest or Kohen Hagadol today. And this high priest would build a temple, make a sacrifice and atonement, and sit on the right-hand throne. No other priest ever did that. We know that sitting on the throne means that Yeshua HaMashiach conquered and takes rulership. Not sitting on the throne and having to stand up all the time means no one conquered or took dominion. So what did Yeshua HaMashiach conquer? Let's turn to Revelation, please, chapter 5 and verse 1. Next I saw in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne a scroll with the writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" We go into the same chapter in verses 5 to 6. It says, "One of the elders said to me, 'Don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, the root of David, has won the right to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw standing there with the throne and the four living beings in the circle of the elders, a lamb that appeared to have been slaughtered. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold spirits of Elohim, sent out into all the earth." A lamb had to be slain, and that stands, that is a lamb that conquered death and resurrected from it. In Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "They sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Elohim persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You made them into a kingdom for Elohim to rule, Kohanim to serve him, and they will rule over the earth." Not only is Yeshua HaMashiach the King of Kings and the High Priest, but going to that throne made us a kingdom of Kohanims or priests. And while sacrifices had to be acceptable to Elohim and perfect and spotless in order for the fire to fall on it, we read that Yeshua was the sacrifice, but look where the fire fell. In Acts 2 and 3, chapter 2, verse 3, "They saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them." We identified with that perfect sacrifice to such a degree that after Yeshua offered himself as a sacrifice, the fire of acceptance fell on us. In Acts 2 and verse 33, it says, "Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of Elohim, has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing." Acts 2:33 said that Ruach was poured out because Yeshua sat down at the right hand throne. And the Messianic Jews, or Hebrews chapter 10, said that Yeshua sat down on the right-hand throne because he offered a perfect sacrifice that ended any need for further work. Let's have a look at Messianic Jews chapter 10. Is it there? How come? Okay, chapter 10, 11 and 14 says, "Now every Kohen stands every day doing his service." Stands, okay? Every day doing his service, offering over and over the same sacrifices, which can take away sins. But this one, after he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of Elohim. While the Kohanim stand daily, offering a perfect sacrifice, Yeshua offered one and sat down once and for all. And although the fire showed Elohim's acceptance in the Tanakh, the Kedavah HaShelekim sacrifices of Yeshua was so much more powerful and acceptable that after he was offered and he went into the throne room and sat down, something the Kohen HaGadol could never do, the fire of acceptance fell on the 120 who witnessed it at the time, and has fallen on many others since that day. The same people who received the Ruach HaKodesh received it because Yeshua was on the throne. If the Ruach came because Yeshua sat on the throne, he could not sit on the throne until a perfect offering was made. Then the Ruach fell because the perfect offering was acceptable. And just as the people wondered and waited to see if Aharon offered an acceptable sacrifice and waited to see if he would come out of that holiest of holy places successfully and change back into his colourful priestly robes and put those bells on again and hear those bells, the people spoke in other tongues or the languages of those around them, but did not know personally what they were saying. The hammer inside the bell is also called a tongue. And after the priest left the holiest of place and put on the robes with the bells, hearing those tongues ring would tell everyone that the offering was successful. Well, not only was Yeshua the offering that was accepted, only to see the fire fall on us instead of normally on the offering, which could be interpreted as showing that we are an acceptable offering. But Yeshua is now the Kohen HaGadol, or the High Priest. And the ringing of tongues that normally would occur on the Kohen HaGadol's robes were heard on the 120 people at the time speaking in the languages of those around him, or in tongues, as it's known. The tongues of those around him. So with the fire falling on us instead of the sacrifice, which was Yeshua, we can see how we become living sacrifices, and the fire was on them while they were alive and well. Romans 12 and verse 1. Hopefully that one's there. "I exhort you, brothers, therefore, brothers, in view of Elohim's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Elohim. This will please him. It is the logical temple worship for you." So with the tongues coming from us instead of the Kohen HaGadol's robes, we become Kohanim. Do you get my drift? You are not just people. You are all priests in his kingdom, or Kohanim. And not only that, but Revelation chapter 5 says we became a kingdom of Kohanim. That is a people group that has Yeshua the Messiah as our King and High Priest, and all the people of his are Kohanim to rule and reign with him. When the atonement was made, those 120 believers were immediately made living sacrifices, Kohanim with tongues, as well as entering into the King of Kings kingdom. We became all things that Yeshua is. And that is why we are not to doubt who we are in him. This is why we can have the assurance that what we ask for in prayer, we will receive it. This is why we can claim every promise that is written in his word. Yeshua is the word. Our trust in his word is paramount to our walk with him. Because of his sacrifice, we now have the power to overcome all obstacles that might want to hinder our walk. So let us now go through remembrance service in thankfulness for what Yeshua, being that ultimate sacrifice, not just to free us from our sins and now allowing us to live by his power, a priestly life in his kingdom for eternity.